Coming up on Roundabout, Bugatti plans to launch a sexy new four-door sedan, Nissan Brazil asks drivers what kind of ponies they have under their hoods, and a pair of men that rescued a woman from her burning truck a few years ago are now suing her. Find out why as we get to the bottom of these mysteries and many more this week on Roundabout. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase.
From deep in the dango, I'm Jefferson Rossington of autobytel.com.
You may know me from such popular websites as autoblog.com. Reporting from Roundabout International Headquarters, I'm Stephen Jessup Ewing.
Also from autobytel.com, but coming to you from Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Joey Naranjo.
As usual, I'm your host, Craig Calamity Cole.
And I'm sad.
Put that in there.
Producer.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 92, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
It's good to know.
92.
Is it? I was just going to say, is it really 92?
92.
It only feels like it's been a few dozen. It's just the time flies, doesn't it, guys?
Think about the number of hours.
Many, many hours. Think of the number of hours we've been set up and just delayed before actually starting the show. I want those hours back.
It's worse than a bad commute.
It could be.
It is. It is.
At least it's with friends.
Like the 405.
Yeah, but on a bad commute, I at least have like my music and I'm alone, so I don't have to listen to you people talking.
So nice.
You had Belinda Carlisle.
I do, exactly. It's just me and Belinda. That's all I need. Me and Belinda.
I thought it was me.
It'll be you soon, Shug.
Ooh, let's get over the awkward and move on to stories.
Well, we may as well just stop the show now, then, because you know awkward's our middle name. We are a tea bag, and we're steeping in awkward right now. A hot pot of awkward. We're brewing some.
That's a lot of course.
Just confused.
That's a lot of awkward there, Craigie.
It's a whole kettle full.
A whole kettle full.
So, yes,
sounds like a calamity.
Who put calamity in the script?
I'm awkward.
Sounds like a bunch of horse... never mind.
Who put calamity in there? Thank you.
Me.
Thank you.
I didn't do it.
All right. Well, I'm just saying it was great.
Points, though, for alliteration.
All right. Golf claps can stop now. Shall we get started, folks?
Yes.
I believe I am up first. And you thought you were having a bad day. Ha! According to Autoblog, one Mercedes-Benz S-Class owner found out the hard way you don't park in bike lanes in Vilnius. And that's the capital of Lithuania, for those of you not in the know. Apparently, this is a serious problem in the Baltic state's top town. Wealthy, high-end automobile owners are beaching their landships in dedicated cycling lanes, and the city's mayor is fed up. To remedy the problem, or at least put the fear of God in Ferrari and Rolls-Royce owners, if that's possible, he took a heavy-duty piece of military equipment and drove it right over the top of a Mercedes-Benz Sonderklasse. As awesome as the accompanying video is, something is just a little bit fishy about it. The whole stunt feels a little staged, which turns out it was.
It is staged.
No. But you be the jury, follow the hyperlink on our interweb site for all the juicy details. Very nice.
Say it again, Craigie.
It's fresh, squeezed, juicy details.
It's pretty scary when a mayor has access to a tank.
Clearly you've never lived in California. Oh, but that's a governor.
The governator?
The governator.
Yeah. He's Austrian.
That doesn't matter.
You know what else Austria gave us?
The Sound what? Of Music?
And Hitler. Jefferson Ross, you're next.
Well, there have been many rumors swirling recently in regards to the return of the Porsche 928, but Carscoop.com posted an article this week about a design study for a new 2+2 Porsche called the 929. Designed by Juliana Cho, a British art school student studying vehicle design, her 929 is a slick-looking four-passenger coupe that is apparently sized between a 911 and the Panamera. There are plenty of quirky elements to this design, such as the half wheels and extra-wide rear hips.
She's
but
a girl.
Reverse... What?
It's
you
a
threw
girl.
Him off.
I was doing good, too.
I was just going to say, you're on this week, Jeff, and then Michelle is a torpedo.
It helps reading before. It really does.
All right.
But the reverse scissor doors add a unique twist to the car's look. After checking out Cho's website and a short design video, it's obvious that she really has a talent with both cars and computers.
So you said the car has chair hips?
No,
got birthing hips.
It does. There's an overhead angle.
How is there room in the Porsche lineup for something between the 911 and the Panamera?
Because
the Panamera is just a slightly bigger 911.
No, but it's like it's a slightly smaller Cayenne.
No, it's a bigger 911.
That's true.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so it'd be like a rear-engined two-door Panamera, so a 911.
Right. That sounds pretty cool, if you ask me.
And it has scissor doors.
What about a front-wheel drive Porsche? What about that?
What?
Doesn't that sound cool?
Get out.
Leave.
You can leave now.
I hear they're coming out with a Panamera station wagon.
Ooh. Sweet.
Is it going to be a diesel manual rear wheel drive?
Maybe. Shelley.
Hey, I have a story.
Do
tell us. Tell us.
Well, en mismo Brasil. Caramba. I need a clown in the background dancing.
Your Spanish es excelente.
It's Portuguese.
Moldy.
Hi, Mima's going to
yes,
do a story.
And then okay, Brasilianos, malditos, ponies are cute. It's a fact. In a recent Brazilian viral ad for Nissan Frontier, evil damn ponies taunt a stuck-in-the-mud off-roader who they don't like to be dirty. And the voiceover tells you that the Frontier has a whopping 172 horsepower, not pony power. I know from direct research that ponies do like dirt a lot. This is an offense to my pony lovers and me. And these evil ponies are darn cute.
I like it. Deixa eu falar uma coisinha.
É o seguinte, se você não passar esse vídeo agora para 10 pessoas, você vai sofrer a maldição do fone.
I haven't brushed up on my Porsche.
Você vai ficar
lately.
O resto da vida com essa música na cabeça.
Pony maldito, la 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 la.
What do you like about these little ponies, Michelle?
What the?
What I love about it is they're actually called the damn ponies. Ponyditos actually means damn ponies.
Like damn Yankees?
Yes.
So they were basically making fun of this guy with his truck that was stuck. He didn't have enough power to claw his way out of the mud.
Right.
And he had My Little Ponies under the hood. Registered trademark.
Okay. So we've all seen all sorts of window stickers for cars, whether it be a cartoon Calvin peeing on the automaker's logo of your choosing or some sort of decal broadcasting your bigoted beliefs. These stickers always convey a clear message. This one, however, might be a little bit lost in translation. The Hooniverse has a photo of a Magna hatchback in Australia with a cartoon outline of two pregnant women standing on either side of a tall man lifting weights. Our best guess says that this is a warning that bodybuilding will lead to mass pregnancy. So don't worry, Craig. It looks like you're gonna going the safe route with that whole emaciated physique you've got going on.
I've been working on it for years. You know, this body is a product of a lot of hard, rigorous starving.
Well, if this window sticker is anything to go by, what that basically means is no women will get pregnant because of you.
Okay.
That's
ouch. Good thing. And Steven laughs maniacally.
But if Craig is skinny enough and he just sits up every morning in bed, won't his muscles just be exposed at some point and it'll appear as if he has a six-pack?
Oh, that's true.
Or in that sticker, isn't that guy actually holding Craig up?
I'm oblong on both ends.
So, Craig, what that means is if you get lifted by a very strong man, lots of women will get pregnant.
How do we know this guy's not trying to crush those pregnant women under the weights? They are directly under the barbell.
That's a good
portion.
Point.
Is he a polygamist, this guy?
That's a good question, could be. Michelle. Is it Warren Jeffs?
No, it's Australia, not Utah.
Well, they're like that, aren't they?
Well, then it's Warren Jeff's mate.
Rocky.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Well, with Aston Martin and even Porsche offering sumptuous high-end sedans these days, it seems like the segment is off limits to no automaker. And according to Autoholics, powered by Car Domain, Bugatti has confirmed the beautiful Galibier concept car it showed off 2 years ago is in fact going into production. If you remember, it's the one with the shiny bodywork all along the sides. The fastback four-door is rumored to be powered by a slightly detuned version of the Veyron's W16 engine. Even so, I guarantee this sucker will be quick. Sticker price is expected to be roughly $1.5 million. I want it.
I still like calling it the Galibier.
Galibier.
It's like a little goofy.
Dodge Galibier.
It's the goofy Galibier.
Is that the car that smashes watermelons on stage?
Welcome to the Goofy Galibier Show, everybody.
It's a giant couch. Yeah. Steven's not a fan.
I like Galibier.
Is that how you pronounce it, Michelle? You have a master's degree in the romance languages. Galibier. Galibier.
I don't even know how you'd begin to say
isn't
that
like
one.
Galibier?
I have no idea.
Galibier.
You have to gargle the air.
Well, tasty.
Who's next?
Oh, boy.
That's Jefferson.
Well, dash cameras and police cars have provided footage of some pretty impressive car chases and crashes over the years, but this latest police video is one of the most shocking ever. Officers in England, including one Dan Pascoe, were attempting to stop a suspect in a stolen BMW last month by setting up a roadblock in the road. Pascoe had just positioned his Volvo station wagon cruiser in the line of traffic, and for some reason he was getting out of the car. As seen from another police car's dash cam, as soon as he stepped from the vehicle, the suspect ran the car, throwing Pascoe into the air. Now, Pascoe must be a Chumbawamba fan because immediately after being knocked down, he got up again.
Oh, God.
And chased the suspect down on foot. According to Jalopnik, Pascoe suffered only minor injuries, and the suspect, Mr. Lee Adamson, was arrested and sentenced to 23 months in prison.
That's nearly 2 years.
Nearly.
I know.
Jeez. Yeah, watching the video, where can people find that, Jeff?
That would be on roundaboutshow.com.
Okay, very good. But I watched said video, and that guy got clocked by that car pretty hard.
If you want to see a Chumbawamba video, you can find those on YouTube. Those are excellent as well.
They are.
Knocked down, but I get up again.
And then I chase this guy.
On foot.
It's not that Celine Dion. You're not knowing what it is, the lyrics.
I'm not a Celine Dion.
Well, whatever
fan.
You were singing earlier.
Belinda.
Sorry.
Whoa.
Don't mean to step on anyone's
toes.
Don't
disgrace the good name of Belinda.
Belinda what?
Thank you. Belinda Carlisle.
Okay, Carlisle.
It's Carlisle.
Carlisle.
Carlisle. All right, well.
Carlisle.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
Don't you talk about my Belinda like that.
Meanwhile, we have a Belinda of our own who has a story.
And she loves animals.
Well, yes. And another Roabians Love Animals installment. Will someone please tell me why these people do not stop the car and kindly remove the frightened rat snake from the windshield of their moving car? In this video featured on Autoholics, a snake slithers its way across the owner's windshield and over the side view mirror, all while the vehicle is driving at highway speed. Someone should call PETA on these people. Have you ever gotten in your car, discovered an ant in your moving car? I have, and for the record, I immediately stopped the car on the 405 and let it crawl out at its own pace. Do you think that my friend who swerved her Windstar so hard to avoid missing a raccoon that she rolled the van 3 times and totaled it was smart? Absolutely. Raccoons are cute and Windstars are not.
Okay, well, then let me bring up this point. True or false, Audi TTs are cute.
Yes. The name is cute.
I hit a raccoon with a TT who was worse off.
TT?
I took the front 3/4 panel off of the TT, hitting what could only be described as the world's largest raccoon.
What color was that TT?
Bright red. It was a TTS, too.
Oh, so you can't see the blood.
Yes. Right.
Did you ever hear the story when Jefferson Ross hit a pig with a CTS?
Yeah.
I believe we did hear that story. That.
That's a good one.
Bringing home the bacon, I guess.
Oh.
That was funny. Come on. Oh. Tough crowd.
Boo.
Oh. So you think you're a good driver, Steven? You're certainly not good on the podcast. That
nice segue, Craig. Everyone thinks they're a good driver, but in reality, it's not exactly the case. Jeff. who hit a pig.
It ran out in front of me.
It wasn't his fault. I know.
When you were actually in at the farm.
I just have this awesome image in my head now of Jeff in a CTS doing donuts in a field full of pigs.
And that's how he hit one. No surprise there.
Well, anyway, so according to Fox Business, a study conducted by Allstate showed that 64% of Americans rated themselves as excellent or very good drivers, rating their fellow drivers much lower in the process. However, these supposedly excellent drivers admit to some pretty bad habits. 89% say they're prone to speeding, with 40% admitting to exceeding posted speed limits by more than 20 miles per hour. Almost half of the test group admitted to driving while exhausted, 15% have driven while intoxicated, and over a third say they've engaged in text messaging while behind the wheel. Not so excellent.
And you know they're all lying, right? I mean, they're like, if 15% have driven while intoxicated, you know it's actually 50. More like 30 or 45.
Right, exactly. Now, I've never
driven. I didn't drive intoxicated to get into this survey here today.
I'm not drunk now.
So how many of these things have you done, Stephen, in press vehicles? Intoxicated driving,
no,
texting.
No.
But you're the fleet manager.
No, I will admit to speeding. I'll totally admit to speeding. I speed.
What's the fastest you've done on a surface road?
Oh, dear. he's being very political about it.
On a surface road?
On a public road.
That doesn't matter. Faster than I should have been going.
Which quantify
that. Hold on
that
to your butt.
Numbers.
No, I'm not. No.
100.
Over, but that's
120.
All I'll say.
No,
this
not.
May be one of those points, Ben.
Oh. Oh. One of those points. What do you call, Michelle?
It might be time. Because I know for a fact, Stephen never... Okay, first of all, it's all good. Like, you know, he would never do anything bad like smoke or, you know, drink while driving. Ever,
right.
Ever drink while driving.
Mm-hmm.
But you're telling me this guy's never eaten Cheetos in a press car?
And smeared his fingerprints
he's
on
never,
the window.
I mean, he's so particular about his press cars that he has been speeding. I don't know.
I can speed.
Your car's in a warehouse.
My car
doesn't
is
need his car.
My car is in a storage unit. Thank you.
Is it a pods? Portable on-demand storage?
No, it's in a public storage place.
Thing.
I don't know.
Parking lot.
He's so particular about the way that the press cars are taken care of. I just can't see that he would push it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, fair enough. We're not here
well,
to judge.
How about certain cars, but I don't.
I'll tell you after
right?
the show.
Okay. Fair enough.
Can you help Jeff get on the Audi list?
No.
And Fiat.
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 All right.
I've got a couple of other requests I'm working on, Jeff.
Okay.
Oh, I drove a car once. Can I write for Autoblog?
You guys need a West Coast Michigan reporter, don't you?
I got a dyno the Kia this weekend.
All right, we got another
Moving
story.
Moving along, Jalopnik.
Speaking of duets.
Brilliant. Jalopnik reports a duet of Ohio men, no, they are not together, rescued a woman from her burning Hummer back in 2003. She driven the truck off the road and down an embankment where it apparently burst into flames. Okay, that sucks. Now, you'd think a hero's glory would be enough reward for these upstanding gentlemen, but you'd be wrong. The two are now suing the woman in question for damages and injuries incurred from the rescue. One of them, a 39-year-old truck driver, claims, and I quote, he's not the same man he was before the accident, and that the smoke from the fire badly damaged his lungs. Both men are asking for $25,000 apiece in a Buckeye court. Doesn't this whole situation sound Jerry Springer ridiculous?
That's right, Craig.
But it gets better. Apparently, rescuers can sue victims in situations where they've been reckless or negligent, like speeding.
Steven.
So if you ever see an Audi TT, don't help the driver.
I want you to look at me right now and tell me you've never gone above the speed limit ever. Thank you.
I don't manage a press fleet, though. So I mean... This is you smoked it but didn't inhale, right? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, come on.
Just kidding. Now he's pissed. Jefferson. He's raising his fist at me now.
For anyone who's watched a motorist get stumped while attempting to drive through a roundabout, you haven't seen anything yet. Instead of making a loop to eliminate a dangerous left-hand turn, one highway intersection near St. Louis, Missouri has switched to what is called a diverging diamond interchange. According to an article posted on Slate.com, this intersection design reduces conflict points in half by having vehicles turning left diverge into oncoming lanes to avoid directly crossing paths. If that sounds confusing, head on over to roundaboutshow.com and take a look at the picture of the intersection for yourself. Who would have thought that driving on the wrong side of the road is actually safer?
That just looks like conflict all over it. I mean, all over it.
It looks like a war. There's so
no,
much
I stuff. Really have seen people confused by some left and right-hand turns. Could you imagine an arrow that tells the person to drive on the other side of the road?
Exactly.
To be fair, the people that were confused only rated themselves as good drivers.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, that intersection is
well,
wacky.
I'm a good driver, but I'm not that good.
Let's be honest, yeah. The intersection's nuts looking. Mm-hmm. It's at Dorset Road. The Dorset Road Interchange. You think we're going to adapt these here in the States?
No.
Well, we would have to invest in our infrastructure first.
We can barely get people onto roundabouts.
Yeah, they just, roundabouts.
They just put a couple of new ones in Ann Arbor, and I've seen people driving through just going, huh? How do I get on 23?
Did I do that? Got any cheese?
I just want to get on the highway.
Well, speaking of something that'll never happen, Michelle.
Well, if you love the Pontiac Solstice and wish that you could have seen it taken just a little notch higher, you don't have to go much further than eBay Motors. It appears that a Farisi concept car is up on the block, and the four-cylinder features a James Bond-style alarm system. Alarming. It might be worth millions, according to the designer and seller. But the same has been said about my horse barn, and both the Farisi and my barn were built at home. In the backyard with DIY parts.
Wow. You know, handicraft is a sign of quality sometimes, but
I hate that people are still doing stuff with the Solstice. Why? Like, can't we just let that car die?
It wasn't that horrible.
That was a great car.
Disagree.
I liked it.
It was fun to drive. Come on, Steven.
Now
you're just being snobbish again.
Well, my theory about that...
It's not a BMW.
No, it's not a Miata.
The 1 Series sucks.
How dare you?
You're playing with fire.
How dare you? Fine.
Yeah, Gorski says the Solstice was neat looking. However, he preferred the Sky.
I also preferred the Sky.
I prefer that too, although I heard it called a chick car at Michelle's meetup the other day, and I felt somehow...
It is a chick car.
CrossedFlags.com asks, does the Solstice suck?
Yes.
I say no.
I say it does.
I say you're wrong.
I say no.
Two on one.
I say it totally sucks.
Two on one, Steven. High five.
He says, he and or she says, my wife wants a Solstice Turbo in red. What do you think?
That's Jonathan Brown,
yeah,
Craigie.
It is.
Oh, the turbo it? Engine was really good, just not in that car.
It had some engine issues, but it was fine. HHRSS.
As much as I hated the HHR, I would totally get that too. Or the cool. Honestly, I think one of the coolest little things from that era was the Cobalt SS sedan. Oh. Total sleeper. It looked like a rental car, but it was so fast.
My buddy had an SS. He put the Stage 1 kit on, so about 290, 300 horsepower
cool.
at the engine. Yeah,
those
it was
cool.
a little rocket.
I miss the PT Cruiser.
Yep,
no,
moving
you don't.
On now.
The SRT4 PT Cruiser.
No, you don't. Convertible with the parade bar in the back.
Oh.
Now he's the sad. Oh.
Well, hey, speaking of things, there are tons of these, like, weird, ancient, wacky state laws. And we like to dig them up from time to time. Kind of like, did you know that in Alaska, it is illegal to push a moose out of a moving airplane? Well, around the world, automobiles are subject to some pretty wonky rules as well. For example, Craig, did you know that in Denmark... It's illegal to start your car with someone underneath it.
Well, that makes sense.
Or Jeff, did you know that in Switzerland, it's mandatory to display a sticker showing that you own snow tires? Well, let's take things a step further. In Canada, it is apparently mandatory to color coordinate your garage to city requirements. And in Australia, bar owners must provide accommodation for horses when requested. So that's right, Michelle. You can take Joy to the bar with you.
Yeah!
Airfare to get her to Australia might be a little pricey, but... No. Did you know it was illegal to comb a hippopotamus while buying fuel, but only if you're eating popcorn? It's in Michigan. Oh, believe it or not.
That's good. So,
yeah, crazy laws. These are crazy. Old laws. Yeah, everybody seems to have an old law that just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, drive on the right? What? Where did that come from?
Wear pants to church. Like.
Yeah. Well, that was the news portion of the show. Good hustle, everyone. Good stories this week. Jeff, you were on fire this week, okay?
Ow!
You made up for your little...
The audio listeners can't see you flexing your muscles, but...
They can hear it, though. They're so strong.
Yeah.
Nor can they see his degree.
It's his halo around his head, the frame.
I like it. There it is.
Hey, I had an idea.
That's funny. Michelle is not amused.
I'm amused.
She's just
plenty
why
amused.
Am I, why am
She's
I
like,
here?
Yeah, I'm amused. Amused.
Fine.
How much longer do I have to do this and not time. Get paid?
Oh.
Well.
Oh.
After the break, we will continue our wonderful discussion with Jeffrey Ross and Michelle Naranjo of AutoByTel.com, plus Stephen Ewing from Autoblog. So stick around because we've got a great blind spot story of the week set aside, and we're doing another thrilling installment of Versus, which I assure you will be awesome. I promise.
Awesome?
Right. Awesome.
Awesome.
Awesome!
Super cool.
That's super sweet,
but
guys.
But right now, we need to thank our fine friends in advance of the parts. Got to thank our friends at Advance Auto Parts.
Right. Did you know they're ready in advance?
Service is their best part.
That's what I heard.
Advance Auto Parts. Go to our website, roundaboutshow.com. You'll see a little button in the sidebar. Oh, and the cord unmuted my laptop. There we go. Go to our website, roundaboutshow.com, and click on the Advance Auto Parts link on the right-hand side of the page, and you can save a bunch of money. There's a very exclusive offer available right now to all Roundabout listeners. Follow the link, and you can save up to $10 off of a purchase of $30. You can take $20 off an order of $50 or more, and if you spend $100 or more, you can slash with a samurai sword $30 right off the top of that order. Steven, I don't need to tell you, but that is a lot of savings.
That is a lot of savings.
And the savings just keep adding up. The more you buy, the more you save.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it's a pretty sweet deal. I don't know why you wouldn't do it.
It's a very sweet deal. So what you do, like I said, you go to the website, follow the link, and there's a promo code you have to enter.
Let's go there now.
Yes.
Yeah, if we haven't made that clear before.
The promo code is A123. Very simple.
This is to go to our website and find out.
Oh, well, it's right there.
Now, Craig, can I just click on their link to show them that I care?
Yes. We appreciate
good
that.
Good question, Stephen. In fact, you can.
And I did.
Good.
Well, even better. But enter the promo code as you're checking out to get maximum savings.
Exactly.
And we do appreciate that. If you spend $75 or more with Advance, you get free shipping. Doesn't matter what it is. You're buying an engine block or something. Free shipping, $75. You can have it delivered right to your door if you want. Or if you prefer, you can pick it up in store at your leisure for the fine, friendly folks at Advance Auto Parts. I've used the service many times. It's great. Keeping the focus on the road. And you should, too. So once more, that's roundaboutshow.com. Follow the link on our website to save. And we appreciate their support, Ben.
Indeed.
So with that, I think you guys need to check your rearview mirror and swivel your head, because It's time. It is time for our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed or underreported or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week we have an article coming to us from Hooniverse. And we're not doing this so much for the article, but for what the question the article is asking. And the title of it, what is the hardest thing you have ever driven? Or as Stephen made to point out earlier.
You
before
saw
the
it.
Show,
I was going to say something.
I remember what you were yammering about earlier.
I was going to say it now.
What is the most difficult vehicle you have driven? So, and you haven't been in a Reliant Robin, though.
I have not been in a Reliant
tipsy,
Robin.
Which obviously Jeremy Clarkson Top Gear had some issues with. Mm-hmm. But what are the hardest vehicles you guys have driven? The most challenging? Anything jump out at you?
Yeah. I once drove a, I think it was a 2009 or 2008, the Celine Dark Horse Mustang, which was the, it was the old body style Mustang. It had 620 horsepower, supercharged racing tires on it. And I drove it in November just as the rain started to turn to snow.
Mm.
And that was one of the scariest drives of my entire life.
Yeah, that's pretty terrifying. One of the scariest drives I had was literally from the office around the block.
Literally?
Literally.
Literally.
Right here. I was in a, it was a blue Kia Forte. It was the 2.4, I think it's the SX model. Mm-hmm. And it had...
see, notice he told us what color it was just for me.
I did. Because I knew you would ask,
Michelle. The dark horse was black, Michelle.
You can't make up. You already you screwed the pooch on that one, Stephen. It's too late. Anyway.
Ew.
Kia Forte SX with the manual transmission. We had it dropped off. It was offered to me to take home for the night. I said, great. Well, we had about 6 inches of snow on the ground, and it was running on summer tires. So I said, well, this isn't a good idea. I'll just take it down the road and see. Yep. Car barely moved, and as I was crossing over Schoolcraft Road here to get to the other side to turn around to take the highway to get home, the car practically slid into the curve. And mind you, I was going extremely slowly. I was doing about 5 miles
an
hour.
Were you sure you weren't speeding?
I'm not you, Stephen.
Mm.
And the car nearly ran into this curb, and at that point I said, I'm not taking this, and I took the Focus home.
Nice.
So, yeah.
See, one of the hardest drives I've ever had, I got to spend about 10 minutes in a Boss 302 Laguna Seca in a pouring rainstorm on a racetrack. Now, just... while you put the two elements together, the car and the racetrack, perfect. Add a little bit of rain. Mm. It's horrible.
Oh, was it at Tawa?
Yes.
Yeah.
The track key. Were. It was... Wow. It would probably be cool on a nice summer day, but not in the rain.
Probably cool? No, hell yeah, it would be cool.
It is.
Yeah, Michelle, cool. What about you? Any harrowing stories from the road?
Yeah, I think I've actually shared this on the roundabouts before, but it was I was driving up to Pebble Beach a couple of years ago and was in the, like, a it was crushed after I drove it, not because I drove it, but because it was...
They couldn't get the smell out of the fabric.
Right. It was a special edition FX50 that was, like, just completely crazied out. I mean, it had, like, pleated leather and all this crazy stuff that the car never went into production for, but it was used at the auto shows. And the FX50 is just... I mean, it's very quick and heavy. And I was driving up the one, which is, you know, cliffs going up on one side and cliffs going down to the ocean on the other side and falling rocks. And they were doing work on a huge amount of Highway 1. So the road was all gravel and it's super twisty and it was blacked out fog. And I just... It was, you know, one of those cars that I couldn't make go slow. I was
yeah.
Literally riding the brakes.
Wow.
And I just felt like I was going to slide off into the ocean at any point. And it was, I don't know, I was white knuckling all the way to Monterey. It was kind of scary.
Definitely. Another one was the time I literally, I had never been taught how to drive a manual transmission.
Oh,
and I was at the golf course. I knew how to do it because I knew how to do it, but I'd never in practice done it. And my boss says, take my truck. You have to go like 30 miles away to, it was Bloomfield Hills, to pick up some parts for a barbecue grill when I was working at the golf course. And he said, here, take my truck. You got to go right now. And it's like, okay. So that was challenging just because I had to figure it out on the drive and it's some hills to take, but I didn't have any problems. So it worked out well.
Real quick one. Because I think this is a scary moment for anyone when it first happens is when you achieve, whether it's no matter what car, no matter what environment, when you achieve what you can say is the fastest you've ever driven in your entire life, that's always scary.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was a couple years ago. I did an Aston Martin performance driving school at the Ford Proving Grounds
in Romeo, near
Casa Cole.
Yes.
And I hit my land speed record.
The Cole Bunker?
On the 5 mile banked oval.
Awesome.
In an Aston DBS.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Doing 177.
177. Holy. See, the fastest I've gone was at Road America.
Mm-hmm.
It was at the Mama event. And it was, oddly enough, it was in a Mercedes C63 AMG. Oh. Not even the most powerful car they had there that day.
Still a fast car.
Fast as hell. $145 was nice. My record. So, yeah, that was pretty scary. And then the numbers on the track, they've got 5, 4, 3, 2, mm-hmm. 1 for the braking. I was braking what would have been like 12 or something. It's just out, turn. I'm not putting it in the wall because you're driving at this brick embankment just straight mm-hmm. ahead of you at the end of the straightaway.
My second scary car was the Tesla Roadster. Not because of the car itself, but because you're smaller than everything else on the mm-hmm. road. Like, a Nissan Versa could run you over.
Definitely. Another challenging one to drive, Transit Connect. We had a cargo version with no windows yeah. on the side.
I did a Sprinter.
That is hard.
I did a Sprinter 3500 with no windows.
Yeah, you can't
That's
see
tough.
Wow.
I think driving is smart on the highway. Not only is it stupid, but it's scary.
Yeah.
Or driving any vehicle when this happened to me in a Solara once, where I like could not find a gas station. I was on the highway and I was almost out of fuel and I was using the like miles to empty calculator, and
it was in negatives.
No, I finally got it down to, by the time I pulled into the gas station, the Solara told me I had 2 miles to empty.
Well, we got it to zero, so.
Yeah, exactly. We did get
We've
the MK2
that.
To zero.
Yeah. There,
but I did have that happen in the FX50, actually, coming back from Pebble Beach. I was on the 101, and I was using miles to empty, and it went suddenly from 35 miles to 2.
Oh. Maybe the zero started, was burned out in the cluster.
It was like midnight, and I was panicking.
Oh, man. That's the time you poop a brick.
Yeah.
Well, good stories. Ben, did you have any scary driving stories? We can't exclude you. Other than getting stuck in your S10, but that's not necessarily difficult
yeah,
to drive.
That was totally different. No.
Totally.
I don't get the selection of vehicles you gents do, so.
But even in your G8, you must have scared yourself at some point. I know you've scared me.
Just how messy it was, right?
No, just more for your lack of sense of direction.
Oh, I thought that was in the MKT when I was driving on the road trip.
You know what? That was scary. Here's what happened. So we'd be on the freeway, and Craig, who never broke the speed limit the entire time we were on the road trip, Ben would get behind the wheel, and Craig would start going, see how fast you can go. Take it up a notch. And he'd start going faster and faster, and then be like, well, we're sort of hungry. Let's get off at this exit, or let's go to this road stop, you know. And there'd be this exit that would be like a 35-mile-an-hour exit, and we'd hit it going like 85 miles an hour. And Ben is a, you know that thing you're supposed to stop 10 feet before a stop sign? He applies the brake 10 feet before a stop sign.
Oh, dear.
I'm an excellent driver, guys. Leave me alone.
You rated the survey. I'm just glad the MKT had leather seats, you know? Easy to clean.
Easy to clean, exactly.
Oh, all right.
Well, enough making fun of Ben, even though it is easy. But we've got more segments to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is stupid bike trick.
Yes.
Go on, boy. Go get it. Go on now.
Be a bike.
There we go. That was just about in time.
All right, so we got a double header here. I know. One of these selections is coming to us courtesy of Autoblog.
What?
It's the one-stop automotive web blog on the cyber web. And it is a policeman or policewoman. I can't tell the gender. I don't see gender, just like Stephen Colbert doesn't see color. But he's doing some motorcycle agility. They've got what amounts to an autocross course set up for motorcycles in this video.
Craig, you're saying you're gender neutral?
I'm not sexist, Michelle, is what I'm saying.
You realize our audience has a lot of space to go with there.
What Craig is saying is he has no preference between men or women.
Oh, God. Now you're slandering, Stephen. But back to the video here. Is this not nuts? What this guy
it
can
is.
Do. On a motorcycle, a Harley Davidson Road King.
Which is not a small bike.
No.
It is pretty impressive.
It's like Aretha Franklin, but a motorcycle. It's large.
How dare you disgrace Aretha in such a way?
Right. So he's not gender aware, but
he's
fat
aware.
Ben knows that quite well, I'm afraid.
The
only problem I have
then?
With this video is they weren't playing the Chips theme song entire thing.
Well, no, this guy is going through a very intricate, challenging autocross circuit.
I probably couldn't even run in this thing.
No,
let alone drive a motorcycle.
What's interesting is when we found this video, because we've got a couple of people on staff, Zach Bowman being one of them, the other one being Jeremy Korzenewski in Phoenix, who are motorcycle enthusiasts. They ride bikes. They own bikes. And when we posted the video in our chat room, we had said, you know, hey, how impressive is this? And I remember Jeremy chiming in and going, extremely. Mm-hmm. So that's when we know it's gold. But just watching it, it's like, I couldn't do this on a bicycle, let alone a
like 800-pound chunk of Milwaukee.
But the question is, could I do it in a Honda Fit?
It would just be sideways around all those cones. I've autocrossed a Fit, and it's not fun.
No? Mm-mm. I believe it. I love autocrossing, but...
Oh, that's tons of fun.
Maybe and the Cayman R is the best.
Yeah.
I had a really good time last year autocrossing, oddly enough, a Clubman S. Hmm. The Clubman.
The Clubman. He's got a big stick.
If you say it enough, it gets even better. Yeah. Clubman.
Clubman.
My mom used to call it the Clubman.
The caveman.
The Clubman. Rock out.
So, again, this is on Autoblog, but find it in our show notes, roundaboutshow.com. Amazing video. If you do nothing else with the show notes this week, check out this video of this cop doing this motorcycle.
It's wicked!
Ow, ow!
It is wicked.
And the second, I promised you a doubleheader, the second thing we've got here is coming from Hooniverse.com, and it's just a very cool photo. You know, motorcycle guys will sometimes stand the bikes up on one wheel as they're driving, riding it. And they've got a photo of a guy who was apparently attempting to do that, and either the axle snapped or the front shock failed, and the wheel is going sideways, and the guy's like, oh, crap, leaning on the bike. And the amazing thing is all the fluid is just emptying out of the shock, and they got a beautiful shot of the whole thing, which is incredible that they were able to do that with no, like, motion blur or anything. You can see all the droplets of the hydraulic fluid just spilling everywhere.
And this guy just going, oh.
Oh, God.
Remember to wear your helmet, children.
Yeah. He's wearing a bandana. Is that the same thing?
No, close enough.
In Texas, it is.
Well, there's no brains to spill out, I don't think, in this one. So
there's more to spill out of the shock than the brains, yes. So there you go. That is our stupid bike trick for the week. And now, ladies and gentlemen, and non-gender-specific listeners, it is the moment you've all been waiting for.
And Jeffrey Ross is dreading.
It is time for our much-anticipated Versus segment. Ben. As you know, in this game, two panelists debate the merits and demerits of one particular vehicle, and the other two pick a winner. Now, we do it for three vehicles, and Ben, I believe you have to select who does what. We need person that is a pro, we need a person that is a con, and the other two are judges, and he, Mr. Sanders here, is going to pull the names out of a hat. Now, starting with the first name, and that is... Who's going to be our first one?
Let's see.
How you feeling, girl?
Number one is Miss Shelley. What will Miss Shelley be?
Driving Miss Shelley.
Driving Miss Shelley.
All right.
Miss Shelley will be on probation, if you will. That means she's pro.
Steven looks very...
Everyone better get worried because I'm tired of winning.
Next up, we've got Craig. All right, Craig, you're going to be a judge for
the
fourth time going?
I'm effing tired of being a judge.
You want to switch, Craigie?
I don't know if horse trading's allowed.
Okay. Craig. We make the rules. So.
Oh, that's right.
Ben makes the rules. Ben,
all right. What's Craig going to be? Judgmental. Do you want to switch? You want to trade with Michelle?
Okay.
You trade with Michelle?
Yeah, since random doesn't
Craig is gonna be
effing work.
I'll take judge.
All right. Well, then it's decided. Craig is pro. Who's next then? If Jefferson Ross wants to be judge.
No. Michelle's the one that offered up. Michelle gets to be judge. All right, you guys swapped. All right. Next one. We've got George, we're moving on up. Jefferson. That would be Jeff Ross. What's Jeff Ross going to be? We'll find out right now as I open this paper. He's going to be confidence trickster. That means you're con. Sorry, Jeff.
You're good. Get ready to
BS.
Michelle and Steven.
I'll help you.
That leaves...
Why does Michelle get to trade and I don't?
Because I always win.
Do you want to trade, Jeff?
Yes.
All right. This is versus swap edition. So that means Jeff is a judge, and Rabbi Jewing is a con. So there we go.
There's a lot of truth in that statement.
Yay, I can't lose this time.
Okay, I have
it
to open
very
my...
Nice.
You guys have
it
to
looks
take
very nice.
You guys have to take notes.
I'm opening my Microsoft Word 2003 edition.
You're going
document.
Down, bitch.
Whoa.
Watch your mouth.
I'm getting my...
A lady is present.
I'm getting my Nissan Versa notepad.
Look at that. I don't really
With
care looking
my
car.
Audi pen.
Oh, I have my... See, this is mine. I have my... Hyundai.
You're a real journalist. All right, Craig, so, why don't you run down how
now,
this goes.
The rules... Craig, that's me, as the pro, I must do my best to convincingly talk up the positive aspects of the vehicles in each of our three rounds, no matter how awful I think they really are. On the other hand, Steven, you are our con. It is your job to make the case why each of these cars ought to be shipped off to the crusher. Each of you, being us, will have 1 minute per car to state our cases. Following that, there's a 15-second rebuttal round. Jefferson Rossbot 2000 and Miss Shelley, you are our judges today in the great compromise that is versus.
And you make swap.
Exactly. You will determine the winner of each round, which you will reveal at the end of versus. So, judges, make sure you have a scrap piece of paper or a Word document or something open where you can take notes on who you think won each round. So, the vehicle lineup this week, Ben, we've got three. What are we starting with?
All right, and I have handily put links in there.
Can we select them?
You can select them when I reveal.
Okay.
All right, so you ready? Mm-hmm. So pick number one is none other than the 2012 Scion TC.
Hmm.
All right, so let's see. Who goes first? Ben's going to choose at random. It's Steven.
Oh,
so
I'm doing the con for the TC.
Yep, you're the con for the TC. So
and I'm pro.
That's right. So on my mark, go.
Okay, so the thing is, the TC costs about $18,000 to $19,000, maybe close to $20,000. And what you're getting is a four-cylinder front-wheel drive coupe that has a lot of aspirations of being a performance car, but it isn't. So if you want a true performance car for that price, you'd probably just be better off getting like a used Mazda Speed 3. Or honestly, even a base Mini Cooper drives better than the TC. It does. It really does. Trust me. As far as handling goes, the TC...
30 seconds remain.
It's a good looking car, but it's just sort of like... It's got Kia Forte Coupe syndrome where it looks better than it actually is. It's just really, in terms of practicality and like bang for your buck, you're just not getting a whole lot with the TC.
15 seconds remain.
That's all I have to say.
Wow. Under time.
Wow.
All right, Craig, you're pro, okay. And now, on my mark...
Though I must add, I did really like the Scion TC.
All right, Jeff Gilbert.
Gilbert.
Craig, you must defend this.
I hope our lovely bibunal of judges... two, bibunal? Tribunal with two would be a bibunal, no? Okay. All right.
Go!
All right, 2012 Scion TC. You know... This is a relatively affordable car. It, like you mentioned, Mr. Ewing, it has sporting intentions. You can get it with a manual, a 6-speed, if you choose so to do. It's got a reasonably powerful 4-cylinder engine at 2.5 liters, and it's pretty thrifty. Gets up to 31 on the highway, 23 around town. Those are pretty good numbers. And by today's standards, cars only get more expensive every year. This is still reasonably affordable. I believe the introductory price is right around $18,000, of course, excluding destination charges. But I'm sure this is a... I haven't actually been in one, but it's a decent-looking car. It's a two-door. I believe they've made it a little larger than the first version, so there's
30
probably
seconds
more
remain.
Backseat room in it, a little bit more comfortable. It's a fun, and I'm sure being a Toyota sourced vehicle, it's also going to be very reliable.
15 seconds remain.
It's efficient, fun to drive, affordable. What more do you need in a vehicle, especially one that is aimed at young people? You know, just getting into the working world, they don't have a lot of money to spend. This could fit the bill for a lot of buyers. And I'm finished.
Perfect. 1 minute. All right. So now you guys move on to your rebuttal rounds.
All right.
All right. Judges, keep listening because here we go. They've got 15 seconds, and we start with Steven now.
So you talk about, you know, it's affordable, it's fuel efficient-ish, and it's practical-ish. It's a coupe. Come on. If you want something that's efficient, practical, affordable, but that's actually all of those things and is still really good to drive, why not get a Mazda 2?
You're out of time. Judges, please strike that from the record. He said that out of time.
It was stricken, yes. Stricken from the record. You can get a... Nothing.
Right, exactly. Fill in the blank. All right, Craig, it's your turn to rebut.
My opponent mentions the Mazda 2.
Did I? I don't believe
I recall that.
Well, doing that.
I think he would mention it if you were. But really? You'd rather have a Mazda 2 than a Scion TC?
Oh, yeah.
Not so much.
Oh, yeah.
You're wrong.
There we go. And under time. All right,
Michelle
judges.
Is gagging or something. Did you burn your mouth, Michelle?
I think Michelle muted herself. I'll tell you that much.
Muted. All right, we got to go to the you got to go to the judges now, Ben, and see what their reactions are from round one.
So, judges, don't give me your final decision, but give me your impressions of how Craig and Steven did in this first round.
Well, initially, I was going in the opposite direction of Craig because he mentioned fun to drive and Toyota in the same sentence. But he did give plenty of good pro reasons for the TC.
Michelle, what'd you take away from this?
Well, you know, I think that both of them made some pretty good points. I think where Steven lost me was when he talked about it looking better than it is, which is kind of like, you know, how some men talk about women. And then when Craig lost me was the little... the little exchange at the end where he just became like, is so.
It's called debating. You're wrong. Shut up.
Nuh-uh.
All right, so that's round one. We got another two more rounds to go.
We do.
Fast and Furious. What is our next vehicle?
All right, our second pick is the 2012 Hyundai Elantra. This time we'll be starting with Pro, and so that means Craig... Go.
Hyundai Elantra, brand new this year, 2012 model, completely redesigned. This is a sharp-looking C-segment, you know, compact car. It's affordable. It's efficient. It's beautiful, too. Inside, it's got that fluidic sculpture design. Hyundai really covered all the bases with this car. They've got the design down. Gets up to 40 miles per gallon on the highway. I'm sure it's quiet and refined to drive. This isn't something you're going to go out and take out on sporting mountain roads, but this is not a Toyota Corolla either. This is going to be a decently good car to drive. And it looks nice, too. A lot of other cars in the segment, the Dodge Caliber, the new Honda Civic, come on. Those things are anything but attractive. The new Elantra for 2012 is very pretty. It's got a 1.8-liter four-cylinder engine standard. Averages 40 miles per gallon, and like I said, or pardon me, averages 29 miles per gallon, but like I mentioned earlier, can get up to 40 on the highway. So, pretty good vehicle. In fact, some people are calling it best in class.
Again, judges, you know what to do. Strike that from the record. All right, Steven, you're next, so blow this thing to hell.
All right, so you talk about how the Elantra is good looking, it's affordable, and it gets up to 40 miles per gallon. So does the Ford Focus. You cannot sit here and tell me that the Ford Focus is not a good-looking C-segment sedan that gets 40 miles per gallon and is affordable. Okay, you don't like the Focus? Chevy Cruze Eco. Honest to God, one of the best values in the segment. It's just, it's got a level of fit and finish and quietness to the interior that the Elantra can't match. And if you get the Eco with the manual, the enthusiast choice, you get 42 miles per gallon. And you can easily achieve over than that. No issues at all. You cannot get the Elantra as a hatchback. The Elantra's just sort of got this, like, there's a couple of features that are just missing from the interior, mm-hmm. like telescopic steering wheel. It's just not, it doesn't feel as solid and secure as a Cruze. Or even, you know, like a Jetta diesel or something, even though that's more expensive. It's just, you could call it best in class, but you'd be wrong.
Your time is out. All right, it's time for the rebuttal round. So, Craig?
Mm-hmm. Some good points there, Stephen. I'd like to make a point, though, that the 40 miles per gallon is only available on some of the super fuel-efficient models of those cars, which may not necessarily be very much fun to drive. They've got aero shutters. They're missing features. That point, to me, is mute. The 40 mpg and the Elantra is a guaranteed on the standard model. Boom.
Boom.
Downtown.
That always scares me a little bit.
Did I offend the judge? I'm so sorry.
Stephen, rebut away.
Okay. If you've ever driven a Cruze Eco, you'd know it's more fun to drive. And as far as I know, most of the people that have done the real-world testing haven't gotten anywhere close to 40 miles per gallon in the Elantra. I myself got almost 50 in a Cruze Eco.
Boom.
All right, go to the judges.
Time to go to the judges and see what they thought about this round.
A hot and heavy round here.
Judges, how do you think these guys did? Michelle, we'll start with you.
Okay, I'm going to go first with Craig. Welcome to the 21st century. You referred to the Caliber. The Cruze replaced the Caliber. And your
wrong
rebuttal
company,
about the
Michelle.
Cruze, you never
no,
ever
wrong
said.
Wrong company, Michelle.
Honey, you're thinking Cobalt.
No, it's still not going to be made anymore, right?
No, it's still being made right now.
You can still,
it's going to go away.
Zach Bowman just had a Caliber this week.
Are you kidding me?
They were going away.
No, he has a Caliber.
They like, must hate him.
Dodge Michelle as too, the Caliber.
Anyway, and then it was funny because in Craig's rebuttal about the Cruze, he dared not ever say its name. He just started going on about it, but he wouldn't say it. And then on the other side, Stephen, really? It's Lexus Quiet?
It is Lexus Quiet.
According to Mr. Bowman.
I promise you.
Bowmanator.
I think...
It is honest to God Lexus Quiet. I kid you not. When I first drove
what
the Cruze,
Lexus,
I was like, wow.
SC?
Like, wow. Zach is totally right.
That'd be a first.
Jeff, what did you think?
I liked both arguments from each contestant. I am disappointed in the fact that this is another weak round for Gregory, but he did have some good points. He did mention the Caliber, but that's like comparing the ugliest girl in class to the hottest girl in class. So
see, I knew it was going to come back to women. I knew it. I felt it.
It's your female instincts.
It's Navajo.
So Craig took a little bit of damage in this round.
Ooh.
That must have hurt.
Mm.
All right. Well, our third and final round is just around the corner.
Okay.
In fact, it's right here.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
What's our vehicle?
Your third vehicle is the 2011 Smart Fort Will.
I hate you, Ben. So,
oh, he's making up for the 1M.
Wow, geez. All right, it's time to start round three, and this time we start with Steven. So, Steven, well, you know what to do.
Well, where do I begin? First of all, it's the Smart for Two. Just look at it. It has no interior space. It has a crap powertrain, a crap transmission. It looks stupid. You can't take it on the highway and feel safe. It has no real purpose in this world. It doesn't get good fuel economy. Like, there are no redeeming qualities about this car at all. There's not one single thing about the Smart for Two that's anything halfway remotely decent. The only good thing about it, maybe, is that they make the electric drive version because it gets rid of that horrible powertrain, but it's still incredibly expensive. Like, if you bought a Smart for Two and you didn't look at a Fiat 500 or a Mini Cooper or any other car in the world, you've made a huge mistake. Because, honestly, like, I have nothing good to say about that car. It is seriously the worst car I have ever driven. Ever.
Just going to keep saying ever.
It's horrible.
Oh, I wish you would have really shared your true feelings, but I guess, you know, some things are just for show. All right, Craig.
All right.
I think you have a tough road to hoe, but defend this thing.
Right.
Well, pull a Steven.
My opponent made some very valid arguments. I will give him that. The Smart 4.2, any Smart for that matter, is by no means a perfect car. But let's not forget, this is a vehicle that was designed for Europe. Europe has a very high population density. It's a very contracted area. Parking is a serious issue in the continent. And this vehicle, with its tidy dimensions, very short wheelbase, it's narrow, it is very easy to park. It's very easy to find a place to put this thing in an urban area. Again, it is not perfect. It has some issues when you're driving it. But in a city environment, urban area, this is a great commuter car for getting around from point A to point B if you've got to run a few errands. And if you're in downtown Paris, for instance. Again, the electric version is only going to make it better because that couldn't be any worse. But the electric version offers the benefits of the tidy packaging that the Smart gives you with a superior
power. All right,
power
Craig.
Tuning.
All right.
All right.
Are you reading a press manual or something?
I know I'm not a judge, Craig, but...
I vote for most overused sound effect.
Yeah,
I don't like that sound effect, guys.
Where's that one?
All right, judges. All right, let's talk
about... We got to do the rebuttal, yeah, don't we?
We do have to do the rebuttal.
Rebuttal.
Sorry about that. It is time for the rebuttal round. So, I go to Steven.
All of the nice things you said about the car, you couldn't say with a straight face. The only redeeming quality you gave it is that it's easy to park, which is about as important as saying it looks very nice. No offense, Jeff.
None taken.
I can think of a ton of cars that are easy to park.
We're done. All right, Craig, it's time for your rebuttal round. I hope you're ready, because...
Well, I just really want to thank the judges today for coming down here and giving us their input. They're great people, both Jeff Ross... Miss Michelle Naranjo, thank you guys for your time and your efforts. We do appreciate it here on Roundabout. You are valued members of our team. Thank you.
Okay, that deserves the sound.
Juicy.
Again, a little damp.
Cow ought to check its pants.
All right, now we got to go to the judges again.
Judges, let's talk just about this round. What are your impressions? Jeff?
Oh, that's a tough one. Steven definitely has his criticisms for the 4.2. Let me just say everyone pronounced it wrong except for Benjamin. Craig did give some of its European qualities a little shine in the light.
Yeah, so. But this is America. We ain't in Europe.
I don't believe this is a fourth round.
I'm just saying,
Steven. Okay?
I'm just saying that
keep your trap shut.
We're in America. Just FYI.
Michelle, what'd you think?
Yeah, I think his point about it being designed for the European market it was a little weak because I do think that there are communities that, you know, it has its place in America, but. You know, Steven's so passionate about why he hates it, and he made some very good points as well. You know, it's that one. That's a hard one because, granted, Craig could probably sell a Smart 4.2 if it came down to it, and quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm. I don't doubt that.
He should go work for Penske. Nope, Mercedes.
You mean Daimler?
Daimler.
All right, judges. SWAT. Judges, it's time for your final decision. Let's tally up the votes. Jeff, I'm going to start with you. How did you vote on round one?
Let me calculate my tabulations. Carry the three. Okay. Round one with the Scion TC went to Craig.
Oh!
Ooh, wow. Jeff gave to Craig.
You know, I was back and forth a lot. But when Steven said he would choose the TC over the Mazda 2 over the TC, I had to draw the line.
Ouch. Oh,
really?
Ooh.
Michelle, how'd you vote on round one?
You know what? I have to go with that one as well. I am not a Mazda 2 fan myself. And
oh, my gosh. You guys.
Wow.
The love.
The Mazda 2 is a great car.
On the chin.
The Mazda 2 is a fantastic.
If you would have compared the Mazda 2 to the Smart Fort Woe, that would have been a little bit more.
Oh, man.
On point.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Very interesting. All right. Wow. Not necessarily the way I would have thought that would have went. All right. We'll start with Jeff again, round two. What was your vote?
This round was equally difficult, being the second round. It was twice as hard.
It was really nice.
I went
this
with
sound
Steven
was made.
I went with Steven. He brought up the comparisons with the Focus and the Cruise.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fuel economy of them both, I guess. Wow. But more of so the comparisons, just because they are superior vehicles, I believe.
Okay. All right. Michelle, how'd you do on round two?
I also, on this one, went with Steven.
Wow.
You're copying me.
I know. Well, I take all my editorial direction from you.
I thought it was me, but all right.
I think, you know, there are way too many things in that segment that are probably that Steven brought up. And so, yes, Steven wins that one.
Right, so I do want a quick disclaimer, though. The Elantra is a very good car. It's just not the best.
You don't think it's the best? I thought you liked it better than the Focus.
I haven't driven the Focus.
Oh, that's right.
I've been hearing a lot of negative criticisms about the Cruise. I still think that's one of the best cars.
It is.
In
it's awesome.
Dude,
compact.
I'm serious. If I were buying in that segment, I would go get a manual Cruise Eco right now and call it a day.
It's just got like the Cobalt or the Cavalier syndrome. I think people just reminisce GM with crappiness.
No, it's
in the
true.
90s.
But honestly, it's a phenomenal car.
All right. So we're all tied up. I carried round one full bore. You got round two all to yourself. We're dead even still.
This is the one that decides it all.
And I think Steven
won. For the first time in history, everything comes down to the Smart for two.
That's right.
All right.
Jeff, how'd we do on round three?
Oh, Craig. You were given a tough hand here, my friend.
I was.
You even tried a little ego boost there at the end, but I'm going to have to give this one to Steven.
Ooh.
Defending the indefensible.
He made good points with the market. If you're going to be spending this kind of money, why not look at the Fiat and the Mini? And you were mentioning the European thing, which you were trying to sway me there a little bit. But again, we are in America, so that's what I went for.
Okay, thank you. Is it going to be got down to a tie? Are we going to have to go to the chat rooms? Michelle, your vote, the last one to go. Who won? Who's the winner here today?
Well, you know, I think, Craig, the thing is that, you know, the whole point of this exercise, of this game, is really it really is the sound effect, right? It really is to see how much we can possibly be full of that when we talk about cars. And I think in the sense that you did your very best, Steven's absolutely right. You just cannot defend that car. The irony being, of course, you know, a few years ago, I applied for work at a Smart dealership, and I probably would have, played the same stuff. But, you know, there are too many options since I've applied for that job that actually beat that car. And, it just hasn't kept up, and Steven hit all the points of why it hasn't kept up.
It probably doesn't help that off the air, Michelle and I have had very lengthy conversations about the disgust for the Smart for two.
You what? I thought this was more of a grading of our performance, not necessarily the vehicle.
Okay. Well, the thing, okay, here's the difference, though. We were talking about the Smart. Everything that I was saying was true and honest and factual.
So did I. Everything I said was true. That's a vehicle designed for the European market. It's not going to work so well in the Oklahoma Panhandle with the cattle rancher, for instance.
Really, who's full of more?
Exactly. Thank you for self-censoring.
Full cocky.
Or is it horse? Never mind.
Horse cocky.
So, once and for all, Michelle, you're saying Steven takes this one?
I'm going to say Steven.
Steven, congratulations.
He is the winner.
I won my first race.
Winner.
I first won.
You're an admirable opponent.
Likewise. I'm sorry you had to defend the undefendable.
So when we'd go to a tie so the chat room could get involved, Michelle.
They'd all agree with me.
Yeah, well, they'd probably do.
Even Jonathan Brown said, Craig lost.
Well, Baja Busta says poppycock. I'm not sure why, but I like it. Poppycock.
Well, and that brings us to the end of another episode.
That's the wrap, then, guys. Good show, good hustle. Conclusion of another roundabout episode 92. Yep.
Yay! Us.
Means it's time to wrap things up. Michelle Naranjo, autobytel.com. You guys just relaunched your site. What are you working on now? I understand you got a boatload of content. You guys are pushing up there, getting people to come there, getting mega page views. What's going on in the autobytel right now?
Well, you know, I'm working with Jeff, and I've been in Detroit all week. He's, like, held the fort down for me while I've been away doing upfronts for the ad department. And he's done fantastic. But the great thing is we are going to actually be launching our Twitter account very soon.
Ooh.
We're going to have an Autobytel's
Twitter.
What's
this Twitter I hear?
Who's going to be running it?
I know. It'll be the two of us probably to start.
Just the two of us.
But it was very cool. I was in Detroit, and I got to meet Charles Crome, who's been on the show, and I got to meet Mud Monster, who's been on the show.
Who's that?
Mud Monster.
He's only Roundabout's greatest fan.
Of course. Absolutely. He made sound presence.
Joe stopped by. Mm-hmm. Craigie Cole stopped by. Ben Sanders stopped by.
That's me.
Who else did we have?
You drove me around in your cute little Fiat.
Oh, yeah, I had you.
Which I think John got this week. I think he got your red little Fiat, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
So, cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you for always joining us, Michelle. You are a trooper.
Always joining us. It just makes it sound like I won't go away.
Change the subject. Stephen J. Ewing from Autoblog.
Hey.
Okay.
How you doing?
What's up in your world? You guys also just did a website redesign fairly recently.
A month ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, we relaunched our website. We added in some functionality this week. We changed things around ever so slightly.
So it's like Gawker?
No. No, because it still looks the same.
And it's usable.
And it's usable. But not to throw stones. Yeah. But I just published a review today of a Hemi V8 powered Jeep Wrangler modified by the folks at AEV, which is sort of local company.
Mm-hmm. So it's electric.
No,
all electric vehicle. That's what it stands for?
Yes. But you can read my story about how we took it up and we took it to an off-road course and had some fun with it. Working on a couple more reviews right now, so look for my takes on the 2012 Audi A6. And the 2012 Mercedes-Benz S-Class Diesel.
Which is a very nice car.
Which is a very, very nice car.
You didn't want to give it back, I understand.
I
there are claw
not,
marks in the dashboard.
I miss it already. Other than that, just sort of going through the daily stuff. And
any allergic reactions to the wooden leather?
No. No, surprisingly, and I was really cautious about what Jeff Gilbert had to say about the S-Class.
You brought your EpiPen.
So, well, no, what I did was the first time I got in the S-Class, I wore a hazmat suit.
Okay.
And slowly throughout the week removed piece by piece of the hazmat suit, only to find out that the S-Class is, in fact, comfortable, non-fungal. However, I have this really odd rash on my inner thigh, and I don't know if the Mercedes gave it to me or if that was Michelle.
Wasn't me.
Okay, then it was the Mercedes.
See a dermatologist. That's all I have to say.
Can you recommend one?
Cleaner news, Jeffrey Ross. You are
Dr. Feinstein's wonderful.
Oh, he's right next to my podiatrist.
He's got a gentle touch. Jeff Ross, what are you plugging?
Let's see. I've driven a lot of cool stuff lately.
Jazz.
I drove all three LX cars from Chrysler,
the 300, straight.
The Charger, and the Challenger. I'm in the SLK 350 Mercedes right now, and I'll be driving the S400 hybrid from Mercedes in a couple weeks.
Rousing.
Yes.
But Autobytel is where people can find yourself.
Autobytel.com.
Very nice. Thank you guys for joining us as always. Don't miss your chance to win $100 by listening to Roundabout on your smartphone using an app called Stitcher. Just go to stitcher.com/roundabout. Then, when you register your Stitcher account, don't forget to enter the promo code Roundabout. Again, stitcher.com/roundabout. Register your phone, create an account, and enter the promo code Roundabout. And one of our lucky listeners will be entered to win $100 each and every month. So sign up for Stitcher. Buy stuff now.
Thank you,
but
Eric.
I have two Blackberries. Does that mean I can sign up twice?
It yes. does.
Have you? Go
Not
for
on
it,
my
Michelle.
Blackberries.
You should. Do it right now.
Do it
I
now.
Well, if I win, then everyone's going to say we cheated.
Well, we give the $100 to a listener. It's decided.
Remember, fair enough.
You can watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 3:30 on the West Coast. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline Detroit, Autoline After Hours, and, of course, Autoline Daily. And if you want to leave us a question or comment, we do have a Google Voice number. Give us a call on the ROAB hotline. It's 1-559-ROAB, that's R-O-A-B, 411 in numbers. That is 1-559-762-2411. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. It's twitter.com/roundaboutshow or facebook.com/roundaboutshow. If you have any trouble finding us, you can get to those pages from our website or just search from we're around.
What about Friendaroo?
We have a presence on the Roo, so...
It's Friendaroo-me.
It's friendaroo.com/roundaboutshow. And if you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and who doesn't, go to iTunes or Zune. You can subscribe. It's great service.
We should make a special frat edition called the Bro-Ab Show.
Oh, no, that means no, Michelle.
Which is up any week you're not here. So, anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.
You suckers got served.
I call something.
Okay.
Bullshit.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans, perhaps.
Horse cocky.
Whoa. Ew. Whoa. Well. Market Ben?
Well, first of all, what is...
I don't know. But
did he mean Cockney, like the actor?
All I know is we've got a soundbite of Jeff saying horse cocky now.